Welcome back to another edition of the Hoffcast. This is episode 8, and guys, we are in the month of May. It's happening. It's gonna be May, and it is. That is, you guys have all been posting that meme, and maybe that is Justin Timberlake's greatest contribution to society. And every year we know it's coming, every year it annoys us, and every year we still do it and laugh about it. but here we are. It's my birthday month, so I guess we're looking forward to that. Not really. After 21, does any of it matter? Now it's just a reminder that death is coming. So sorry to bring you guys down right off the bat in this podcast. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in again. A lot of you guys are listening. We're picking up some listeners along the way, so this is fantastic. If you haven't already, this is a big deal. Go to iTunes and make sure you give it a 5-star review and write up something nice about it. That helps us move up the rankings, and iTunes then shares it with more people. So make sure, if you haven't done that, take the 2 minutes to do it. It really only takes 2 minutes. We'd appreciate it here on the podcast. Help keep it free for everybody. Shows coming up this week. This Saturday, the 5th, I'll be at the Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica at 8 p.m. So if you're on the West Side in Los Angeles, get over there and check that out. Should be a great time. Then after that, on Tuesday, I will be in the belly room of the Comedy Store. I'll be going up before Roast Battle. So if you guys are up that late and you want to come down to Hollywood, come see something new that Nick's got planned. I think that show maybe starts at 10. But then you get in, you get to see all the comedy, and then you get to see Roast Battle. So if that's something you're wanting to do, make sure you do that. But I do believe that one sells out early. So get there as early as you can on Tuesday, and I will see you there. So those are the shows. Still no baby out yet. But I'm guessing before you hear from me again, it will be. So, buckle up. The next several podcasts, I will be whispering from inside my house, and I will be tired as hell. So, this is the last bushy-eyed Hoff you're gonna get for a minute. But you know what? Screw it. The baby's gotta learn to sleep through things, right? They say you're not supposed to tiptoe around babies, so you know what? She needs to learn. This is my domain. This is my domicile. And you think her brothers are going to be quiet? You'll hear in this podcast. They're not quiet when I need them to be. Why would they be quiet for her? Yeah, she's just going to have to learn. I think, and hopefully that'll mean that we don't have to, like, always be shushing each other when she's asleep. Hopefully she'll just be a soldier. She'll be like, I got this. I need the sleep. You guys talk. Do your thing. I'll be right here, not being able to roll over or wipe my own ass. So, yeah, it's going to be a big week here. It's going to be a big week. Still adding a lot of tour dates for this summer's tour. I don't go out until the very end of May or beginning of June, and I'm still adding a lot of dates. So if you guys want me to come to your town and you know of a venue or something, hit me up. Let me know. Send me a message, and I'll be happy to look into it. You know, I'm trying to get to a couple new places. I've got the standbys, the places that I always go, and I love those spots, but adding a bunch of new ones. So let me know if that's somewhere you guys want me to come. And some places, you know, I just can't get to that often. You know, I hear from a lot of people, they want me to come to Branson, they want me to come up to Canada, up to Halifax, and I love those places, but I can't get there all the time, and they don't have necessarily the most readily available venue for me, but I am looking into it. I've got those places on my list, and I'm looking forward to getting back there. This week on the podcast, we've got another guest. This guy, Neil Anderson, he has been my best friend since kindergarten. We grew up 2 blocks from each other in a small town in Nebraska. And I think when I climbed up to the top of the tree in my front yard, I could see him in his tree in the side of his house. That's how close we lived. And I just always, ever since I can remember, just after school, we're going to one or the other person's house, playing video games. We made a lot of movies together. We've made movies in elementary school, in junior high, in high school. We We had our own class in high school that was just me and him. It was our own independent study, which was a filmmaking class. And he's an interesting guy. He now stays home. He's got three kids, just like I'm about to have. And he lives up in Maine, where it's a deserted wasteland through the winter. He gets stuck in his house. Power goes out constantly. But it's this cute little town in Maine, and he's got an awesome wife and three awesome kids, and he's just an all-around good dude. So I hope you guys enjoy my conversation with Neil Anderson. I think you guys are going to love it. So thank you for tuning in, and enjoy my conversation with Neil Anderson. All right, my guest here on the Hofcast this week is my good lifelong friend, Neil Anderson. Neil and I have known each other since we were 6 years old, going to kindergarten in Hastings, Nebraska.
Hey, Nick! Wait, oh, wait. Sorry, you weren't done yet.
You'd think we'd have a better rapport by now. Neil lives in Maine. He's got two boys and just had a baby girl. As you guys know, I have two boys, and I'm about to have a baby girl, so we're right on schedule with each other. Neil's got all three kids to bed right now, so he's joining us on the podcast. Neil, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Hey, Nick.
There we go. Now I'll mute you that first time.
That was the last bit of energy I have, yeah.
Dude, so what's going on? Your kid's like a month old now.
Yep, it just gets easier every single time.
Is that true?
It is, but Kate had her tubes tied, so it doesn't matter anymore.
So you're still virile, but she is no longer open for business?
That is exactly right.
And was that always the plan?
Yeah, I suppose. Well, it depends who you ask. I would
say
yes.
There was never any vasectomy talk?
Oh, we talked about it once in a while, but I didn't really like the idea very much.
A few guys do.
I heard that sometimes you can do it and it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. There's a funny comedian named Quinn Dale who has a joke that is something like, I don't think he'd mind me saying it on the podcast because it's an older joke, but he goes, yeah, my brother found out the hard way that vasectomies don't always work, and it can make your baby black.
See, I didn't want that, so I said no.
Quinn Dale's very funny, so check him out, you guys. Yeah, don't... we're talking about the vasectomy. Robbie and I last week, who was on my podcast, talked about it, and he thinks I should just like book an out of town gig and get it done there, like secretly, because Sarah doesn't want me to do it. She's like, well, maybe we want four,
but she won't notice a big scar on your balls.
Definitely she will not. I don't know, you've been married 8 years, or is she very well aware of every little nook and cranny of your nutsack?
Damn right she is. Well, first of all, if you're going to a fly-by-night, are you talking like Mexico? I think if you go to Mexico,
no,
and get your balls cut open, she's going to notice.
No, no. This is not a Tijuana circumcision. This is,
you're talking about the respectable,
like,
secret ball cutter.
This is the quote-unquote, I have a gig booked in Seattle. Meanwhile, I check myself into a hotel in Santa Monica with a bag of peas.
This just sounds awful.
Yeah, well, we can talk about this because my wife doesn't support my podcast, so she's not listening, so it doesn't matter.
Fortunately, it's just on a podcast, so what could go wrong?
Lovely that no one will ever hear this. Yeah, a month, and it's easier? So with three, you're not even flinching?
No, a lot of it's easier because you don't worry about it as much because you got experience, and you don't worry about it as much because you just can't. You got other, you know, your attention is divided.
Sure, but is there a difference having a girl as opposed to the boys before?
I think that there is. I think the guys are extremely affectionate with her. And I don't think it would be that way if it was
with
another.
Her, your daughter.
Yeah, I think if there was a third boy, I think there'd just be competition right out the gate.
Is there any difference for you in keeping a little girl alive as opposed to keeping a little boy?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
It seems to me like there's a wiping difference.
Well, she's not going to die from that.
No. But that's a big thing in my head, because I know sometimes newborns, it's just obliteration in the diaper. And
no, that's true.
there's a different, you know, set of things happening down there.
It takes a little longer if it's
it
a messy...
It does. The girl takes a little longer.
It takes a little longer, but that's all it is.
That makes sense. But at least you don't have to deal with the circumcision, I guess.
Nope, it's
unless
all good.
Unless you got her circumcised.
yeah,
we opted for the...
Why don't you just take her to your doctor when you get your balls done?
Yes, yes, well, she and I will both go down to Mexico.
So you can get a two-for-one. Figured yeah, out. Yeah.
Oh, man, we had to... we just got a new car. We had to get the van. Did you guys have to upgrade?
Oh, my goodness. We're getting a van in a month. I didn't tell you that. Yeah.
No. You figured it out? What is it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know what you're getting, or you still have to, like, do all that?
I told you that my folks are moving out here, like, relatively close to us, right?
From Nebraska to Maine, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We're trading them their van for our Subaru.
Oh. Your parents have a van?
Yeah.
Why do they have a van?
Because I have a mom. She drives a van.
Your little brother, your youngest brother has been out of the house for conservatively a decade?
Yeah, that's true.
She's still rocking a minivan?
Yeah, she felt really comfortable with it, and I'm gonna inherit my mom's van.
You know, a lot of people, even the gal that was selling us our van, she's like, and you'll get over the stigma of a van. I was like, I actually don't care. This is good.
I know a few people who have gotten vans, stay-at-home dads, and they actually love it.
I mean, it's a big car, so you feel like you're kind of in charge. And who gives a crap? There's a DVD player in there. You know, the kids are happy. Wife's yeah. happy. I don't really yeah. see a stigma with it. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I did have the option of taking it to the comedy club last night, and I opted not to.
Right,
I opted
of course.
To take the Toyota Camry with the expired tags. than... I should clarify, the tags aren't expired, but it failed its smog check, so I don't know where I stand in the eyes of the law.
I think not. I think it's you're somewhere still above van.
Well, at least, you know, I don't know why I opted for that. Maybe in case she, like, got contractions and had to go to the hospital, then she could just pack the kids.
Then she could
go.
Drive herself. Drive her yeah, damn self in the van.
Well, I was an hour away. I was down in Irvine doing a show, so, you know, I'll meet her after
You'll
my
be
set.
More comfortable driving yourself in labor with a van.
And I will hurry just as soon as I'm done with my set and meeting all my fans after the show.
Yeah.
I will hustle back. But we got, so we bought it in North Hollywood. My wife went on a women's retreat this last weekend. So I kind of did the little surprise thing. Like, she knew we were looking and we wanted to get a van, but I took the kids, we went up there, bought it. But now I've got two cars and only me. And so I asked if I could leave one of the cars there. They said, no problem. Come back and get it on Monday. So on Monday, we got the whole family in the van, drove up to get the car that I drove up there in, and yep. the side mirror is broken off.
Oh.
It's sitting there in their lot. And I went because we're leaving, and I go, oh, that's different. And I looked behind me, and they have like a bunch of people standing there in the lot waiting to prey upon people as they come in. And I looked at the guy and I go, hey, that I left my car here and the window's smashed off. He goes, oh, it wasn't like that before? I was like, nope. He goes, I believe you. But I called everybody out there, and I could see who I think was the owner, like, came out, and he's looking me up and down and looking the car up and down, which is not in terrific shape, but definitely not mirror hanging off. And so they said they're going to fix it, but who knows when the hell that's going to be. So I had to drive. We had to drive it back with, like, a blanket wrapped around it, like a baby changing blanket wrapped around it with duct tape so that it wouldn't scratch the door. Like, it's still hanging there. It's connected by bungee cord. So it's still hanging there, but it was broken off. And now I had to clean out the Camry because that's the one we're going to sell. We're going to sell it on Craigslist. You bought a car.
Yeah, I bought a car off of Craigslist. I got my first apartment off of Craigslist.
That green car that you had, what was it, a Mercury?
No, I bought a Mazda 626 off of Craigslist.
You bought that off of Craigslist. I went with you. I didn't realize it was a Craigslist deal, but I knew it was by owner. Any problems? Was that easy?
Oh, you know what? I still will never forget this. Drove over to Thousand Oaks, and they're like, yeah, it was just a grocery getter, great car. And they're like, you know, we thought you'd appreciate this. And they put the Titanic soundtrack in there with the radio all the way up. And I was like, that's really thoughtful, because I'm stupid. So I was driving around, you know, giving it the test drive with the Titanic song blasting. Yeah.
Why would they think you'd appreciate that? You didn't know them.
Well, you know, so I bought it immediately. But when I took the Titanic soundtrack out, I realized they probably did that on purpose because the brake pads were shot and it sounded like a dying horse whenever you stepped on the brakes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I think they swindled me a little bit.
Just by playing loud music.
Yeah, because I was feeling really good about myself and I couldn't hear anything, so I bought the car.
I love how you're like, Celine sounds terrific. I'll take it.
Yeah. I suppose, really, I should have been, you know, a little bit more cautious when the car and the Titanic were the two things that went together in their minds.
Oh, man. But you had that car for a while. You ended up selling it, right?
I did not end up selling that.
Where is it?
Well,
did you drive
it off
the pier?
It kind of fell a little bit on hard times. I Googled it, and there's a thing that that will happen with that car when it's a little bit older called the bucking bronco, which is when you're on the interstate, the engine will just go in and out, like from off to on, and it feels like you're riding a bucking bronco, like you're not going to get to where you want to go. And so I rolled into Maine on these fumes, and I called up public radio, and I said, I want to give you guys a gift.
So you gave it to a radio station?
I gave it to the public radio station here, yeah.
Okay, so that was easy, but you still had to sign it over to them and, like, change the registration and all that, right?
Nope. You don't. You just, you prove that you're the owner, and then they send a big truck out full of other Mazda 626s, and they pick it up, and they drive away, and then it's gone forever. But I thought that was going to be a great idea and, like, a nice thing to do. But the problem is that when you give a car to NPR, they will never, ever stop pestering you to give them more cars.
Really? So you get a call every year?
I get emails. I get things in the snail mail. I get calls. I get begging and pleading for, like, whatever other dumb decision I made with buying cars.
You know what? That is such horse shit. Like, does your college do that too?
Of course they do, yeah.
What do you say to them? Do you answer those phone calls?
No. Actually, well, I don't answer the ones that want money. But when there are people graduating that think I can help them get a job, I really like to talk to those people.
You're like, I have no way of helping you.
They don't know any of that, though.
You just want to talk to someone.
Because in the alumni directory, you can say you do anything.
What do you mean? So undergraduate students that are seniors will call you?
They will email me. They're like, oh, we saw that you are very successful and you own your own business and we want to know how you did that. And so I write them back a long email. I explain the whole thing to them, but then we keep conversations going until they just sort of lose interest.
You're like Kramer and Seinfeld. Like, you sort of have your own business and you're trying to get all these interns swindled. You're like, yeah.
Oh, I'm not hiring any of them. No, we're not hiring at all. I just
You should have a free internship. I should have a free internship. I'll bet you I could get Indiana University.
You want an intern? I
could
get you an intern like that, my friend.
I could get
as many interns as you want.
Dude, do you know how? And by the way, sometimes I see people post like, hey, I need, like, because there's an Indiana University alumni page, and sometimes graduating people or juniors will say, I'm coming out to Los Angeles looking for an internship that accepts college credit. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'll give you college credit.
Why not?
What do you have to do
I would rather
to
do that
qualify
than
for college credit?
Yeah, I have unlimited college credits in my pocket right now. You can have quite a few.
I will give you so many credits. Mm-hmm. You've already graduated. Now I'm going to need you to do my taxes.
Yeah, see, and it's spring now, so there are a lot of nervous seniors looking for internships from people exactly like us.
Oh, my God. I should get an intern. I think that'd be fantastic.
I agree. I think my microphone is a little bit too low. I could have someone fix that.
Oh, man. I'm going to write that down. Need intern. Need intern. I write slower than
There's an S at the end of that. Intern.
Zzz, need interns. Many, I'm going to need all, multiples. Yeah. You guys can all come in here together. I'm going to need a babysitter. I'm going to need someone to drive my wife to the hospital to have the third baby.
If you could get a mechanic, that would be good, too.
Oh, dude, you're a genius.
Good with mirrors and tape.
Trains mechanics, but like, you know, I pick one up from MIT.
Absolutely.
You know what's funny is I had a buddy who went to graduate school at Harvard, and I just did a show Monday. I bought a Harvard hat while I was there because I liked it because it had the H for Hoff on it. And so I bought one, and there was another comedian who's like, "Oh, nice. Is that H for, what is that? Is that Harvard?" I was like, "Yep." And he goes, "Nice, I graduated in 2011. What year did you graduate?" I was like, you know, because when I went to visit.
That's the bad beginning of an answer.
Dude. No, well, here's what, I loved it because the truth of the matter is I went to visit my buddy who was in it, and I attended two of his classes because you can go and audit classes with someone who's enrolled. And so I audited two of the classes. So what I said to him was like, you know, I never graduated. I attended classes. And then the last class I ever attended, I left there to do a comedy show in Worcester, just an hour from Boston. And I never looked back. I never returned. And I've been doing comedy ever since, which is none of that is a lie.
See, you are so ready for an intern.
I need one. I need one, and since I have a Harvard hat, I could probably get one of those little wankers to come in and be a part of this.
Man.
When I told my buddy who went there that, he goes, "You know, they really shouldn't sell those hats to just anyone." It's like, you're right. We're being infiltrated by the four-year-old. What's up?
It's dinner time.
Okay, go get started, and I'll join you.
What are you having for dinner?
What's for dinner? Can you shut that door? No, I'm not going down that road with him. He'll never leave. If I start talking to him, he won't leave. So I'm just happy he's going to go eat and get bigger, and I can eat later.
That's really disciplined parenting. I like it.
Okay, so this week I asked the internet, my Facebook page, I asked them two questions, one of which was, "What's your problem?" which I want to turn into a TV show, where I yell at people who have disappointed me, even people that don't know me. But it can be friends, family, things I disagree with they do, but also celebrities that, you know, I'd have Bill Cosby on, and I'd be like, "What the hell is your problem?"
Oh, so this is not a question. This is like, I'm going to fight you, like a gangster would say, "What's your problem?" And then they punch you in the nose.
Absolutely. I have already determined that they have a problem. I just need an admission of guilt out of these people. So that's what that's going to be. But so I asked the internet and got several answers, none of which were, you know, on the scale of Cosby or anything like that. But one person wrote that they're having a problem because they have an overdue baby in their belly and they're trying to figure out what the hell to do. As someone who has just had a baby, I thought maybe you could shed a little light on that.
I think vigorous lovemaking is one of the first things that a doctor would recommend.
Is that what you did? Your wife's a doctor, by the way. Is that what she was recommending?
Yes. Yep. If the baby won't come out, that is the best way to scare them out.
Vigorous.
Yeah.
you can sell it. This was a lady who wrote this, so she's gonna have to go down that road. She's gonna have to suggest it.
I'm sure she can find someone to help her out.
Super pregnant and baby just won't come. So Sarah Regner, I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. We recommend, she's from Indianapolis, Indiana. We recommend lovemaking. So get yourself someone nearby and that you trust and say, put a baby out of me.
Yep. Don't stop until it happens.
All right. Well, I feel like we've solved that one. You know, for baby number two, for me, we had spicy curry. And we were eating it with our neighbors, whose his wife was due in a month. And both my wife and his wife, within 30 hours of eating that curry, had both had the baby.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, spicy food worked for them. But maybe it was just the special Indian curry they had.
Okay, I like that. Indian curry goes with it well.
Indian curry, and then follow that up with lovemaking.
And keep going back and forth.
Oh, this is the grossest thing I've ever done. Okay, so we've solved that one. Now, another person wrote that she is having a problem because she can't figure out if you didn't see hamsters, like, where do hamsters exist outside of the pet store? And obviously the people that bought them for the pet stores. Have you ever seen a wild hamster? I think that's what that's boiling down to.
Is she implying that this is a conspiracy?
She wants to know what the hell these hamsters are up to.
So they live in a hole. And then they come out to eat and get caught by the pet store.
Where is this?
The hole?
Yeah, where's the hole?
In the ground.
Do hamsters live in the United States?
Yes.
Do they? Where? Have you ever seen a wild one?
I think it's kind of like anacondas in Florida. People get them as pets, and then they realize that they don't like them anymore, and they release them. Or like buffaloes in Catalina. You know, the island didn't have buffaloes. They were brought there to make Western movies, and then the movie people left, and the buffaloes just kept procreating, and now it's full of buffaloes.
Got out of hand?
Yeah, way out of hand. It threw the whole ecosystem off, and now it's just nothing but buffaloes out there.
Okay, but we're assuming they existed before people owned them. So where the hell do they come from? Because I have not seen a hamster in real life.
I think they come from the jungle.
So that sounds like South America.
Yeah, those are the wild versions. I think the domesticated versions came later. It's kind of like dogs came from wolves.
Right.
There's the wolf
people don't
hamsters
know that.
Out
All
there
dogs
in the jungle.
Come from wolves.
Yes, exactly. These are they had two ways of surviving, being a savage wolf or being a little bitch that lived off of the kindness of others, and those became dogs.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I'm on the hamster Wikipedia page, and it doesn't tell me where they come from. It's not like, often found in Australia.
This is a really good question. I don't think it's a problem, though, is it? Is it a problem for her?
No, only if she's obsessing about it. And the question is,
is it bothering her? Like, does she want to find them? Or is she trying to return one?
Joanne Sanchez says, can't imagine where hamsters exist outside of pet stores, .. And then Jason Pollock responded with, I came here to write something amazingly brilliant and witty, but after reading Joanne's submission, I yield.
I'm starting to yield to Joanne as well. I think that she's onto something.
Dude, Joanne. Keep submitting, Joanne. We're into it. I don't know where hamsters come from, but now I want to know. If anybody has information on that, write in to the Hofcast and let us know. Also known as the dwarf hamster.
Yeah, to be continued.
Related to the chinchilla, hamsters are omnivores. They'll eat anything. But we really don't know anything else about them.
Why would we?
I don't know, but if you Google image them, there's some cute hamsters out there. Oh, God, they got those huge cheeks with pouches. And they're this one's eating a dandelion. Damn it. Now I want a hamster. All right. Well, a lot of people had problems, but those were the two that I thought...
those were pressing, and one problem solved. Another problem we realized was a brilliant answer. Was we don't know.
We don't know. You're welcome, America and yep. the world. I guess this goes out to the world. There are people. We got some Canadian and United Kingdom listeners on this podcast. So hello from overseas. You guys will be getting this, I guess, Thursday late. I'll be posting it Wednesday late, but you guys will get it on Thursday. I guess Canada can get it Wednesday late as long as they're on the western half.
I think they have all the time zones we do.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, the second question that I asked the internet, I said I wanted people to give me their list of most underrated movies of all time.
Ooh.
Now, you were an English major, but there was like a film emphasis, right?
Yes, exactly. I was actually an American Studies major, and English was part of it.
American Studies.
Yeah, it's kind of like majoring in liberal arts. I know, it sounds kind of vague.
Nowhere in there did they cover the hamster.
Oh, goodness, no. No, no. You have to wake up early for those kind of classes. I woke up late.
Well, get the hell up, okay? Because we're going to need these answers, Neil. Okay, so a lot of people had a ton of movies that they listed. Some that I hadn't ever heard of before, but and then people were liking and voting for their favorites out of those. And I tell you what, we got like 10 or 11 of these that got several likes on Facebook. So I'll just go down the list and you tell me.
Okay.
Tell me first if you've seen it and if you'd recommend it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the first one that came up was The Natural.
The Natural.
Robert Redford.
Yes.
Right?
Is that Robert Redford?
Mm hmm.
Is it a baseball movie?
Okay, so you haven't seen it, so you have no expertise on this.
I would like to say that it is so underrated that I passed it up.
Okay, The Natural. You know what? My brother-in-law says that's his favorite movie of all time, and I've been meaning to see it, but I never have. It came out in 1984, Robert Redford. 82% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 88% of audiences liked it. So I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably something you should see.
It sounds underrated to me.
This one is a movie I love, and I don't know if I would consider it underrated because it's on TV on a constant loop, unlike TNT or something like that. Tremors.
Oh, come on. That's not underrated. Tremors is an absolute classic. If anyone thinks that it's not, then they're underrating it because the fact is it's a good movie.
Dude, yeah. Tremors is right up there. If you haven't seen it, go for it.
Yeah.
This one got the most votes.
Okay.
Which surprised me, but Multiplicity.
Multiplicity, yeah.
Can you place that one?
Yes, I can. It was starring Batman, and I think that was probably the last... Yeah, that was probably the last movie he did before he sort of fell off the map for a while, wasn't it?
I think you might be right.
Yeah, and then Eddie Murphy did Bowfinger, which was sort of the Eddie Murphy version of Multiplicity.
Did you see Multiplicity?
Oh, goodness. I saw the cover of the VHS tape. And
I'll tell you this right now. I own Multiplicity on DVD, and it got a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes, which doesn't surprise me because it's not an Oscar winner. But only 48% of audiences liked it, which I enjoyed it. You know, it's a stupid comedy, but I liked it.
Now, let me ask you this. I think that movie has a bad title. What would you rename it?
Terrible title. Terrible title.
Yeah. I think if it had a new title, it could have been a classic. But
like
what would you rename
Batmans?
It? Yeah, what would you name it?
Four Batmans.
Four Batmans.
Who's not seeing that one?
I think that's an awesome title.
Okay, so the storyline is this guy clones himself because he's got too much to do. He's a construction worker. He's burnt out. He's got a family. He can't satisfy. It's Harold Ramis directed it. The late great Harold Ramis came out in 1996. What would you name it?
So he's a construction worker, but he invents a machine to clone himself?
He doesn't. I think he sees an ad or somebody tells him about the scientist that can, and so he makes two of himself. So he's got another guy that can go be on the construction site, and he can like handle the family at home and golf and do whatever the hell he wants. And then pretty soon, like, he's like, oh, I don't want to do this thing that I have to do, so I'm going to get someone to do that. And so he like clones the clone, and that one turns out to be a little bit different, like not smart. And then the like final one, I think, is gay. So each one becomes different. Like, it's like making a copy of a copy. It's not exactly like the first one. So
I think they could have renamed it Infinite Bastards.
Infinite Bastards, and you think that's going to get a higher opening weekend?
You want to bet?
Well, there's no way to find out, but I actually do like Infinite Bastards better than Multiplicity. Multiplicity, right now, it still is not a great title. It does not explain it, really.
No,
there's
it
multi,
sounds...
But no, Multiplicity.
Right, it sounds boring. It sounds like a math book.
Yeah, it's a bad title.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You've figured that out. That's why. Okay, so we've gotten on to that one. Now, this one is near and dear to my heart because it is one of the ones I always recommend.
I think I know what underrated movie you would put on this list, by the way.
Let's see what you got. I did not, but I do have a running list of movies that when someone comes to my house and I have them captive for a few hours, I will suggest sternly that we watch.
I think you tell them to sit down and you pop in Digstown.
That is the next title on the list. Somebody else said it, and multiple votes came forward on Digstown. Now, I think I've made you watch this movie.
We've watched this movie together like 3 times, and it gets better every single time.
Do you like it? Because I kind of feel like you don't.
No, I do like Digstown. And that's the thing, is it gets better and better every time you watch it.
Digstown. Yeah, it's James Woods and Louis Gossett Jr., right?
Yeah, Louis Gossett Jr. Yep. He was a diamond in the rough. Oh, goodness. I don't know. Living with the hamsters. Who the heck knows what he's doing?
Let's see here. If Louis Gossett Jr. is still alive, what do you got, Betts?
I think that he's alive.
Still living. Louis Gossett Jr., best known for An Officer and a Gentleman, Iron Eagle, Jaws 3, Roots. Holy smokes, been married 3 times. All 3 of his wives are dead.
You're darn right they are.
He's 81 years old.
Yeah.
Still alive in New York City. I don't think he's acting anymore.
I think he has nothing left to prove.
There's a recent picture of him. He kind of looks like Farrakhan.
I like him.
Gossett Jr. Digstown, great movie. 92, so he's 81 now, and that's 26 years ago? So what does that make him? He's 75, 55 years old as a boxer who fights 10 men in one night, right?
Yeah, he was playing his actual age in that movie and still kicking ass.
He looks every bit of 55. Bruce Dern's in that movie, too. Bruce Dern, I love.
Yeah.
He might have been the same age as all of them, but he has looked like he's 90 for the last 40 years.
Yeah, he's been that nice mixture of grumpy and crazy.
We're about halfway through this list.
Okay.
I'll just run down these next few. You tell me if you'd recommend them or not. Idiocracy.
Definite yes.
That a lot of people like that because they said the person said Idiocracy feeling a little bit more like real life.
Yeah, I've heard that too. But I agree. I think everyone should watch it.
That's a what's the guy's name? Judge Mike Judge.
Yep.
Creator of Beavis and Butthead.
Yep.
Made Idiocracy. Hot Rod.
Haven't seen it.
Hot Rod. Andy Samberg. I've seen it. It's one of those stupid movies that like if. You know, you got nothing else to do and you're with a group of friends. It's probably funny if you're drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got this one. I don't think this one's underrated. I think people hold this one in high esteem, but it got a lot of votes. The Princess Bride.
That is completely rated. First of all, Andre the Giant was a national treasure, And yep, secondly,
see that documentary on HBO. It's great.
Yes, The Princess Bride is hands down my wife's favorite movie, and I think she probably wouldn't have given me the time of day if I didn't know about it and tell her that it was great.
Dude, The Princess Bride, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Yep.
My wife didn't like that movie growing up because she didn't know it was a comedy. She thought, this is so stupid that it's funny. And I was like, no, it's supposed to be funny.
It's everything that you want it to be. It's the whole thing is great. And Diego Montoya, Andre the Giant, the whole marriage thing, it's great.
This next movie on the list is on my personal list, and I didn't bring it up. Somebody else brought it up. It was voted on multiple times. In fact, I think two people brought it up, and each person's citing of it got multiple votes.
Okay.
So, and I'm looking at this one. It's 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I'm going to give this a true underrated Norm MacDonald's Dirty Work.
You and I used to watch that all the time. There were dead hookers in the trunk of the car.
Sing the song, boys!
G7, Street Fighter!
Oh, Chris Farley, rest in peace. That was one of his last roles.
Yeah. What was his favorite magazine was Dirty Old Man and Whores.
That old guy. Dude, Dirty Work. Directed by Bob Saget. Such a fantastic movie. Why only a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes?
I really don't know. I think... Howard Stern's buddy was on there.
Artie Lang, yeah.
Yeah, Artie Lang. I think, I don't know why it wasn't popular. It was hilarious every time I watched it. I don't know. It baffles me. It's completely underrated. It belongs on the list. That's a good call.
Yeah, and people say, you know, it's stupid comedy, so they give it a lower rating. But, you know, it's not stupid if it's really, really funny. It's like comedians in cars getting coffee. Seinfeld was interviewing Jim Carrey, and Seinfeld said, like, I don't know, something in conversation, and Jim laughed, and he goes, oh, why did I laugh so hard? That's so stupid. And Jerry goes, because it's not stupid. And it's true. Like, something can be simple, but, like, brilliant and funny.
Yes, I agree.
Just because it's simple doesn't make it stupid.
No. I think Dirty Work has a lot of moments that are like that. You're totally right.
You guys are listening to this. You like comedy. See Dirty Work. Do yourself a favor. You can probably find it. It might be on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something. Definitely check that out. Norm MacDonald, Artie Lang. Give it a chance. It's really funny. This next one is also on my personal list of underrated movies. And underrated because not enough people have seen it, I don't think. But it kind of flew under the radar, but it's really good. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I remember when that came out and everybody liked it. And for some reason, I didn't get to it.
You should watch it.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I own that movie.
Yeah.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Really, really fun and different.
But is it an action movie, or is it a comedy, or is it just, what is it?
It's an action movie. It's an action comedy. It's like, it's maybe not as much action, actually, looking back on it, as like a Tango and Cash, but it's got the same, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously. But, it's just great. It's great, and it's different, and it has a different pacing. It's kind of like what makes Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey.
Yeah.
And it was right at the very beginning of his comeback, I feel like. Like, I'm not sure when Iron Man came back. Is that when he really had his comeback? Is that when...
I would say yes.
Iron Man was 2008. This was 2005. So it's just, like, right up to it. Like, he'd already been through rehab, and here he goes.
Yep.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang got a lot of votes.
Okay, I'll put it on the list. I haven't seen it.
This one, I've seen one time. At one time, I owned the DVD, and I think someone stole it. So I got to see it again, but I remember liking it. Like, my wife said it's really good, so I bought the DVD. It was like $5 or something, and I bought it. Count of Monte Cristo.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
2002. It's got Jim Caviezel and Guy Ritchie. Not Guy Ritchie. Who's Memento? Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce. That one, I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen it, but, you know, I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, Count of Monte Cristo. Oh, and who else is in that? Anthony Hopkins.
Well, it has a good source material, so I think it's, you know, it was up to the filmmakers to screw it up.
Luis Guzman? Although I'm not seeing Anthony Hopkins on here, but I feel like he's in it. Got a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes, 88% audience approval. The Rocketeer.
Ooh, I don't know if that I could consider underrated classic. That kind of bombed when it came out, right?
It was a huge deal, I remember. And I was young.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure some people are fond of it. And I think it might be largely because that was kind of like when Jennifer Connelly was incredibly hot, and then it just had a guy in a steampunk backpack, and then that's pretty much all it had, right?
You had a thing for Jennifer Connelly, didn't you?
I think a lot of people did.
I would think you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy that didn't have a soft spot for Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the last one on the list, and it was brought up by a friend of mine, Katie Pollock, and she told me to watch this movie long ago. I never did. I'm looking at it right here, and it got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. The name of the movie is Temple Grandin.
Temple Grandin.
Are you aware of this one?
I'm not, but I'm going to just make a guess of what it is. I think that okay. is possibly the name of a slam poet who has Tourette's.
You know, you're not crazy off. It is an autistic cow farmer.
Oh, no, she is famous. I have heard of her. I haven't seen the movie, but I do know who that is. Yeah, I think if it's underrated classic, I'm not sure it's there. But I'm positive that it's an interesting story, and everything that I've read about that person, you know, it sounds like she has made a lot of her life.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard of her until I looked at this movie. 100% from critics and 94% audience score. It's Claire Danes.
Yep.
And it looks interesting. I watched the trailer today. So I got to see it. She sees the world differently.
Right.
Because of her autism. And so she's able to revolutionize something about cow farming.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I think that's great.
Now, you know what? 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I guess I'd go ahead and give it the Hoff stamp of approval here.
I think that this list, clearly it can't be comprehensive. But I think off the top of my head, I would add a movie. I don't know if you've seen this one. But it's got Steve Martin. It's Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, yeah. Own that movie.
I think that's underrated.
Great. You know, just, I feel like it was a very popular movie, and then it just didn't survive in people's, like, lexicon. I think it just kind of went the way of the dodo, but I think it's great.
There are scenes in that just have tears coming down my face. Steve Martin beating his legs with a cane, and when he puts the glove on and is talking about Ruprecht and all that stuff, it's just
Michael
hysterical.
Michael W. Caine. Yeah. It's got Michael Caine in it.
Yeah. Check out Dirty Rotten Scoundrels if you haven't.
Definitely. Check out Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I don't even know what voice I'm doing anymore.
I think
Sorry, that was Michael Caine.
Don't let that dissuade you. Go check out the movie.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Anything else on there?
Well, I know that Bill Murray says, I think I've heard him say that Groundhog Day is his favorite movie. And I would agree. I think Groundhog Day is fantastic. Can't watch it enough.
That's a four-year-old, believe it or not.
Put the helium balloons down, Nick.
Both kids have invaded. I guess dinner time's over. And my piece on the podcast is as well. Mommy's going to beat you senseless now. Now you've done it.
Oh, come on.
This is the problem. in living in such small quarters. And I don't have a place to go.
You can put a lock on your door.
It's a sliding door. I can, but then they just bang on it. I can try then lock them out, but I feel like it won't do any good.
Yeah.
I feel like the listeners, they understand. They understand that my life isn't perfect.
You know what? It's always kind of adorable when kids break in a room when someone's adulting and they just scream and shout and jump in your lap. And
yes, and someone else has to backhand a child.
and then it gets really ugly.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. All right. Well, those are the questions we had today for the internet. And I think they came through swimmingly.
I always count on the internet, and it didn't let me down today.
The internet was fantastic. Speaking of the internet, did you watch? Did you watch Kanye's rant? There's no getting around it.
They just love you so much, Nick.
And they think it's hilarious. So now it's a game. Now it's a game that will never end. Oh, my God.
Are we alone?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you.
Yeah, no, the kids are... hopefully they're going in the shower. They love the shower.
You gotta hose them down a little.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... what was that scene in A League of Their Own?
That's what they do in prison, right? When people get a little rambunctious?
Yeah, give them the hose.
Yeah.
That's what the... yeah, and the same with the guy in Silence of the Lambs.
Is that what made you think about Kanye's rant? You think he deserves the hose?
No. But did you see it? Did you hear about it?
I don't know. I feel like he's always ranting about something. He's talking about how he likes Trump, and it makes him feel like he could be president, and then he said something about slaves, right?
So, yes. So here's the issue. Okay, so Kanye West, for the last week and a half, has really been public about saying he likes Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And then yesterday... he went on TMZ for a long time, and over the course of it said a lot of crazy things, but he said, slavery 400 years sound, you know, if you're in slavery for 400 years, sounds like that's a choice. And a couple guys there, like one guy in particular, really got on him. He's like, no. And it's disappointing for you to say that. Like, you're kind of living in your own world, which you've built and you deserve, but I don't think you're in reality anymore. What do you think about those comments?
Ooh, that is pretty tough. I don't know what he was trying to accomplish with that. If that's supposed to be a pep talk, I'm not sure that's going to work.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me about it is that he's coming out with an album in like a week or two.
Yeah.
So it's kind of along the lines of what a lot of people are doing right now is like no press is bad press. So he's just like, I've been out of the limelight for a few minutes. Let me just get on everything.
You think maybe he jumped the shark there, though, that he's a little desperate for the attention?
It could be, but it's been working for other people. You know, a lot of people get negative attention, and next thing you know, their album's number one for months.
Do you think that means that it's just white people who buy his albums?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But this may have gone too far. I'm not sure.
How can I say that's a choice? My goodness. That is a very difficult thing for me to understand.
Right.
It clearly wasn't a choice at the beginning.
No, and even... Like right now, my kid is getting dragged into his room. Someone might say that is a choice, but he's trying not to choose it, but it's happening.
You made me do this type of thing?
Yes.
No, I think he's just completely wrong, and I don't think anyone would ever choose to be a slave. I don't think that's part of being a person.
Right, and here's the thing. Is for weeks now he's been, you know, tweeting a lot and people are retweeting and saying Kanye's a genius, all this stuff. I'm like, I never saw any of this stuff as genius. Like, he's got a couple of catchy tunes and that's it. I always kind of disliked him and his opinions.
It's tough when you like someone's music and then you hear them talk as an individual or, you know, try and branch out into other things than music or whatever they do, and it just sucks.
Right, right, but people give him passes all the time. People, not just Kanye, all these people, like Chris Brown beat another famous person, and yet he still sells records.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't understand why we give these people passes. That's part of what I want my show. What's your problem? I want to bring these people on, and maybe that's the wrong thing, because then that's giving them more exposure.
Well, did TMZ hold his feet to the fire, or did they just let him say it and said, oh, that's an interesting point, Kanye?
No, the one guy really got on him about it. Like, he was
but just one of them.
All this stuff. Yeah, there was another guy that was sitting there kind of giving him the silent eyes, like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of looking at him like that, but one guy was a little animated about it. And then some guy, I wish I could play the audio clip of what it was. The guy was real, really well spoken and how he handled it. Like, I feel like in me in that position, I'd be mad and have a tone about me, but he was really just authoritative and stern without going overboard.
Yeah. Well, good for him. I think people need to speak up when they don't like what they hear, and it sounds like this guy did.
To a certain extent, I agree with you. Speak up when you don't like it. But then on the flip side, you had the White House Correspondents' Dinner this last week. Michelle Wolf was getting a bunch of heat for going too hard on politicians and the press secretary. And I watched it, and I thought, you know, this is just a roast. That's what it's become. I didn't see the big deal.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing was she was hired to come in and do those kind of jokes. I mean, I think that was part of actually her show was she said, you know, when she got sort of like a lukewarm reaction to a vote, she's like, obviously you didn't vet me before you hired me.
Didn't do your research. Yeah. Yeah. In the past, they've kind of had, you know, people that are a little more on the conservative side with their language.
Yeah.
And she wasn't at all. I thought, you know, there were some jokes I thought that fell flat, but for the most part, I was like, no, this feels on par with what she was supposed to do.
I mean, the truth is they gave her a lot of material to work with, and it was not clean. That material was not clean.
You know, what was interesting was, you know, I was talking to my wife about it, and she said, well, did they do this kind of thing when Obama was there? And I said, yeah, although it was different because he was always in attendance.
Yeah.
There. So I feel like you don't quite dig as hard when they're there. And also, he just wasn't the same type of character that Trump is. You know, he always, ever since we've known Barack, his life's been in the public eye. So he's careful about what he says. He's careful about what he does, how he carries himself. Trump, like, wasn't for years and years. So he's just kind of off the cuff and a cowboy, and that's kind of how he's continued. So that's an easier target.
Yeah, it's a very combative administration. It's a very combative atmosphere. I mean, I don't
know.
What do you expect?
You know, it's a little different that he's not there. And Sarah said, well, what, you know, maybe that's because he knows himself. Maybe he knows he can't handle that type. Like, he wouldn't react well to hearing things like that. She said, you know, she said, if people said that about me, I'd cry. And I said, boy, wouldn't that be interesting if Trump were there and he actually started to cry when the person was making fun of him? Like, that might kind of humanize him in a way that people are like, you know, that's actually a person.
As a comedian, would you keep going then? Is that like a...
If someone's crying?
Yeah.
No.
No. So you're not like a shark in the water, and when they bleed, it doesn't make you hungrier.
No. Especially, so it's different in a comedy club. If I'm going after someone, it's because they are in the way, they are being a problem. And I usually give those people two or three attempts at, like, cool your jets. But if they keep coming at me, then you got to cut them down. And at that point, like, they're attacking me, so I don't have a problem attacking them. But if someone's just silently sitting there taking it, whether they deserve it or not, if they start to cry, there's no way I'd continue.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I have a feeling everyone in Washington will get over it pretty quickly.
Well, yeah.
What? Let me ask you this, though. I wasn't actually familiar with her before. She primarily does stand-up?
So she is on The Daily Show. She's a correspondent on The Daily Show and a writer for that.
Okay.
So it's kind of in her wheelhouse. Like, this is yeah. what, you know, her and her people do.
Right.
Which the last couple have been Daily Show workers.
Well, maybe if you're right that no press is bad press, maybe she just Kanye'd the administration and it'll be good for him. Who knows?
But on the other side, too, it's kind of like that Kanye thing in that she has a brand new Netflix show coming out next month, I think. So it's all these things that are tied to other things nowadays. You can't just have someone do something. They have to be doing other things, too. So there's a little bit of that, you know, she's got something else she's promoting. And you know, The Daily Show is very much anti, not just government, but typically, I guess because since The Daily Show's existed, most politicians or the president's been held by Republicans, I guess, for most of that time. I think it came when Bush was in office. So they had 8 good years of Bush, 8 years of Obama, and now 2 years of Trump. But it's like, I don't even know what the hell I was saying.
I think you're completely right.
Do you know what I was saying?
No, I think you're right. I think that if what she did was not going to be broadcast and quoted and have transcripts and that people weren't expecting reaction quotes from politicians, if they just could have had a private roast in the room, it probably would have gone over pretty well. But, you know.
Right. Here's what it was. And she knows she's not going to burn any of her audience. She's on that very, like, liberal, like, I'm going to say what I want side. So those are the people that are going to watch her Netflix show. So this is not going to hurt that. This is only going to help that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Going after all those people. I think the hardest part, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it, but I read some of the, some of the quotes from what she did.
So people were really up in arms about what she said to the press secretary who was there. And she kind of just sat there and she looked not mad, but like, Almost sad. Like, kind of just like, okay, yep, Like, so I think that rubbed people the wrong way. I think if you listened to it and you couldn't see that person's reaction, then it didn't matter. Because what she was actually saying wasn't that bad, but seeing the person she was saying about it, I think that's what upset people.
Because when you see a Hollywood roast, the person getting roasted, you know, they're clapping, they're laughing.
They're laughing. They know it's all in good fun. It doesn't have that kind of feel. So it's always kind of baffled me why they have this person there roasting. But they do.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see who they get next time.
A lot of people are saying they're going to not do it. And I don't think they do this every year. I could be wrong, but I was trying to look at a list of people that have done it. And it looked like they, you know, skip a couple of years here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. She got a lot of flack. I didn't see why. But yeah, Kanye is catching it. He's catching hell. And I can clearly see why. And if he's doing it for publicity, I get it. I still hate it. But I understand that he's just playing us all.
Yep.
Oh, all right, dude. Anything else?
I got a big wheel.
You did. You got a big wheel. You were telling me.
Like a grown-up one.
This is like a tricycle with the big wheels.
Yeah, like when you see a little kid riding their big wheel. It's exactly like that, except it's big enough that I can sit on it and ride it.
Where did you get that?
On the internet.
Like a big kid's store?
Yep.
Like a hefty, like an oversized kid's store? Like a Lane Bryant for kids?
No, it's one of those things where, you know, if you're a grown-up kid, you want to have those things again, and they make them for you.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And your kids have one.
Yeah, Hugo has one. And
so you guys go riding together?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
It's really, really fun. And there are already a couple of other people on the block that are getting them, too.
I got to say that you live on a hill.
Yeah, and there's this big parking lot that's just up the way from us, and we go up there on weekends, and it's a blast.
Wait, you just ride down the hill?
No, it's, well, it, you know, it's a parking lot, but it's like a, it's its own little private road with a downhill into the lot. And the lot has like a, you know, it's got like a little grassy area in the middle. So it's this big circle and you can just go nuts and it's fantastic.
And these are all grown-ass men riding big wheels.
And children as well, yeah.
Your kids are there at the time. So it's sort of like sledding.
We're all there together.
Without the snow.
Yeah. And I give rides to the little kids, you know, they can like sit on your lap and they get to go fast.
I don't know what to think. I'm kind of speechless about that.
If when you come and visit, I'll let you ride it. And I within 2 minutes, you're, you know, your checkbook's going to be out.
All right, deal. So, and send me a picture of you on the big wheel so I can post it along with this episode so we can see, so our listeners can see what the hell's going on over there in Maine.
I will. I'll send you one of Hugo and I because then it's even cooler.
All right, sounds good. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time to join me.
Thanks for having me. It's always good to catch up.